Coming up on TMSPM, a gentle kiss on the cheek.
Get all the pictures you can eat.
Dan the Tabletop Man and more on this episode of TMSPM. Deja vu.
This is the morning stream, but it's not in the morning, it's at night.
TMSPM.
Hello, everybody. Welcome back to TMSPM for May 3rd, 2019. Scott Johnson here, Brian Ibbett there. Hello.
Right. Yes, hello.
It is Friday, isn't it? I should say that's Friday.
Oh, it is Friday, and I feel like I'm at 90%. And Scott, 90%, you know what that means?
Normal?
That means it's time for... I'd like to be at 100%. That means it's time for another star-cut cider, this time the Mosa Hard Cider.
Ooh.
Which is... has a lovely fish on the front. This one is fermented with Michigan apples blended with orange juice. So the Mosa is part Mimosa.
Oh, interesting.
Or Umosa, if you have one.
Is it tangy? Is it sweet? Is it...
I don't know. About to open it up.
Oh, first time.
Oh there we go. I've never tried one of these before. Brand new.
All right, here we go. Put it down the hole.
Just kidding. Wow. It is... I mean, it tastes like a hard cider with orange juice, and that's really good.
Oh, all right.
Who says you can't confuse your apples and oranges? I say you can.
Exactly. There you go. That's you.
Wow.
That's fantastic. Enjoy your cider. I will enjoy my water. And for some reason,
better for you anyway.
It's probably a sign that Kim's out of town. I got a glass of water and a nearly empty extra crunchy Skippy natural chunky peanut butter thing with a spoon in it.
The spoon in it. Very good. Yep.
It's going great here at the Johnson House.
How many points is that?
I didn't eat very much of it, but I wonder. I mean, I assume that peanut butter is like high calories, isn't it?
It's very high calorie, yeah.
Yeah.
Let's take it. Do you want me to even take a look? You want me to look in
here?
Yeah,
what are your points? Give me your points. Well, how much points is a serving of that? Well, I guess I can look at the thing.
Well, you can look and see how big a serving.
Two tablespoons. 190 calories from two tablespoons.
That is 6 points for two tablespoons.
Oh, my gosh. All right. We'll just put that right over here.
The good news is same number of points for chunky or smooth.
Oh, really? Really?
Yeah.
You think I guess the nuts are nuts. It doesn't matter how they're pureed or smushed.
Nuts
or
nuts. Exactly. Whether they're ground into a dust or into...
Mm-hmm. Oh, we're going to try that soon, chunky. By the way. That's gonna
we
happen.
Are, yeah.
Yeah,
we are.
Excited about that. Well, all right. My plan of not drinking a single soda today, but having more peanut butter than I should, it was probably a mistake. Probably just neutralized the plan, but that's okay.
Well.
I got a story to tell you that has been haunting me since about 6:30 this morning.
Oh, God. Okay.
And, yeah.
All right.
It's been rough, and I'll share it with you now. Kim's not here. Baby Van and Taylor and Carter are all with Kim. They drove to St. George again, right back down from where we came. And they are,
oh, wow.
Yep. They stayed at our little timeshare thing in St. George. And the idea was nice weather, time at the pool. It's all for Carter's birthday and for Taylor to get away because she never gets away.
Yeah.
Not since the baby was born. So this was their big plan. Great. Awesome. And so here am I and Nick. Nick is working, but he is home at night with me. Bad combo anyway, because neither of us, and he couldn't afford to because he's skinny McJimmy, and he doesn't gain
sure.
any weight.
And he has metabolism.
Right, and he has metabolism left. Mine's shot to hell. Anyway, so that's kind of the scenario. Done it before. I know how to survive it. It's okay. Everything's fine. However, last night, I thought, I'm going to do something a little different tonight, something Kim would never do. She's not here, so I'm going to do it. I'm going to let the dog stay in my room. And just one of them, Rainer, and I'm going to let her, she can curl up on the bed, she can lay on the floor, she can be wherever she wants. I just thought like an out of kennel, you know, night where she could just be feel free to move around, stretch, you know.
Nice. Just, she's on a comfy bed.
Yeah.
Is she a big spoon, little spoon?
She's, she will often creep up to me and just lay right next to me or put her head on my neck or stuff like that. She's very sweet. So I thought, well, this will be a sweet thing and, you know, she can just be in there. So when lights went out at about 11 and everything was, you know, off, mm-hmm. it's fine. She's falling asleep over there. She's already tired. I'm falling asleep.
I'm impressed with 11, by the way, Scott.
No, I was really tired yesterday. So I figured if I stayed up any later, I was really going to regret this morning. But anyway, I stayed up to about 11. I'm reading a book in bed after I watched the most recent episode of Barry, which was fantastic, by the way.
I need to. I'm gonna get. I'm gonna binge.
You
got. I think I've got
it.
Five episodes ready in the chamber.
It's so good.
Appropriate for Barry. So and you're gonna fire them all off one right after.
Oh yeah,
the other.
Good point. Yeah, no. If you don't know what Barry is, Brian just made an exact kind of metaphor about Barry.
That's right.
Barry is fantastic, and the second season is just engrossing. I absolutely love it.
Cool. Very cool.
Anyway, so I watched that. Then I'm reading my book. It's called Better Served Cold. It's a revenge fantasy book. It's not a revenge fantasy. It's a fantasy book that deals with a bunch of revenge. Okay.
Oh, really? Okay. All right.
And Joe Abercrombie. Fantastic book. Anyway, so I'm reading that, and I'm getting tired, and I fall asleep, and I check on Rainer one more time, and she's just over there kind of snoozing, kind of stretched out. No problem. All right, now we get to the point. 6:30 this morning, about 15 minutes before my alarm goes off, I feel what feels like somebody sort of kissing me on the cheek. Just okay. This gentle kind of like touch of some sort. I'm like, what is this? I know Kim's not here, so it's not her. Nor would she. Sure. She doesn't do that in the morning anyway. It's weird. So I roll over to see what's up.
It's got to be the dog licking you, right? How sweet.
Oh, yeah. Another sweet idea. Like, that's a great idea.
Yeah.
Nope. She had shifted around in the night to the point that that was her butthole on my cheek. And she's a shaved dog. She has no tail. They cut it off for some reason. They didn't need to, but they did. When we rescued her, she had no tail. They snipped it. It was infected, actually. We had to give her stuff to get rid of it. She was a mess when we got her. But anyway, so back there, her hindquarters, free of other obstructions. There's nothing there to block or to separate the butthole from the cheek.
Sure.
So she had shifted her bum up next to my pillow and was lightly touching, resting her little butthole on my cheek.
Oh,
and it
yeah, keeping it warm.
Keeping
it warm on her dad.
I guess so. So I woke up and I noticed and I realized what it was. I'm like, bah! And I kind of jerked the other way, and the dog kind of jerked the other way and looked at me like, "What have I done?" And we're not doing that again tonight. Not putting.
Did it take a second? Was it like?
No, it wasn't. It wasn't like pulling a suction cup off a window or something.
Right.
Thankfully, it wasn't that. And I didn't do the whole John Candy, Steve Martin, how about them bears kind of thing after.
Those aren't pillows.
So we're on good terms now. I've walked her twice. She's, you know, she sat in my lap earlier.
I think she feels like you're on much better terms than you probably feel.
I don't know how to tell her. No butthole on the face. Not allowed. Yeah. It's just not cool. Don't do it. And I'm sure she had no idea. She's in the dark in there stomping around. I slept through it. And she just plopped down, and that's where we were. Hmm. So happy times at the Johnson house while Kim is away.
Nice.
All right, moving on. Hey, you want to see pics from Vegas? Yeah, I just want to let people know. So there's we have the Facebook group for the Tadpool, and then we got the Discord now, which is hopping, by the way. Lots of chatter in there. Mm-hmm. And in both places, you'll find links to all of these amazing photos that multiple people have taken. But in the heavy part, you're going to be seeing a lot of TVZ Gone photos, which
TVZ Gone's photos.
Typical of our events. And they're all great. So
yeah.
Go look at those. I don't like some of them because I'm a giant fat person now. And aww. So it really shows it in some ways. And there's other shots of me. I look fine. There's one I sent you. I can't tell what the hell I'm doing to a microphone.
Yeah, it looks like you're playing harmonica, but I'm sure that's that's not it. Like you're John Popper all of a sudden.
Well, I need to be like John Popper and lose about 45 pounds or whatever he did.
There you go. There was, you know, it was the catalyst for me when I finally just said, oh, okay, I've got to do something, was having that 3D body scan at Denver Comic Con last year.
Oh, yeah.
I remember when I finally 3D printed myself after I did a little editing of the weird ginormous unit that the guys Kinect gave me.
Yeah, they gave you a big wiener. Do you still have that handy somewhere? Where is that thing?
It's up. I have it upstairs. It's okay. It's on our countertop.
It's upstairs where everyone can see it. I love it.
Where everyone can see it. I painted it. I actually painted it with a Coverville t-shirt and blue jeans and my tennis shoes. I like made it really, really accurate.
Did you file the counter, down the crotch? Did you file it down and make it less?
I did that in the in a 3D editor before I 3D printed it.
Okay. All right. I like it.
Yeah. You know, having it up there on the counter, it's in the kitchen. So it's probably at a really good, a really good place for me to see it before I don't know, crack open a box of Ding Dongs or something.
That's a good idea.
But it's very interesting. One of the photos, it's in that same set, and it's you and me up on stage there. That is the last alcoholic drink I've had since I opened this can right here in front of me.
Really?
Yeah.
Wait, I would have been at the concert then on that stage.
It was at the concert. It was the last, the last night there, Saturday night. We went to the speakeasy. I didn't have anything there. We went to went back and played craps, and I think I ordered a club soda with lime. Well, I did actually order a club soda with lime because I was thirsty as hell.
Yeah.
And no alcohol since that photo was taken.
I'm impressed with your commitment. That's amazing. So
Went to trivia last night at a brewery, and I had a blackberry soda.
Was this you getting ready for your weigh-in today? Like you're being extra careful? Is that what's going on?
No, this was me. Had enough drinking in Vegas for the weekend, and also since I've been sick all week, I usually don't drink during the week anyway, unless it's trivia and it's someplace where they've got a really good cider or something really good. Mm-hmm. And we were at the Oasis Brewery last night, and they've got a bunch of really good beers. A graham cracker porter, that's awesome.
Graham cracker
porter. It does taste like a porter beer, like a dark, dark beer that has kind of a graham cracker flavor to it.
My dad would have called, if he had bad help at a hotel,
yeah.
He would have called them a graham cracker porter. He would do that. He would say, that guy was
Graham cracker porter just delivered my luggage to the wrong room.
Yes, he would have. He loved calling people graham crackers. He loved that. So that's too funny. But anyway, so this is why I've always told people. People say, does Brian drink a lot or something? I'm like, no. Don't let the Vegas thing fool you. He's like one of the most controlled social drinkers I know. Like, you are that guy that just is like, oh, it's the appropriate activity. So we're drinking here. Yeah. And then when I leave, I'm not going to do too much, and B, when I leave, I'm going to not do that for a bunch of time. Like you're the opposite.
And I'll nurse a drink for a long time if I can.
Right, that's cool. I think that's good.
Yeah,
that's like the opposite of an alcoholic, I guess.
Right.
So well done.
It's rare for me to say, "Hey, how about another round of shots? Who wants a round of shots now?"
I feel like on this trip, I met two kinds of drinkers. I met your kind.
Pete Rave and everybody else.
I met your kind, and then there was everybody else doing their own thing. But anyway, so how did this all pan out in the weigh-in, Did you do the weigh-in?
Pete Rave. Had the weigh-in today. Yeah. Walked in there, and I even set her up. I said, not a great week. I was in Vegas last weekend and kind of didn't discipline myself as well as I should. And also then I got sick when I came home, so I couldn't get on the bike. I couldn't do the go outside on the bike, couldn't do the recumbent bike. I was just like wiped out. And then I stood on the scale, and Scott, I can't believe that the numbers weren't higher, but believe it or not, only 0.6 pounds, like 0.6 pounds gained.
Well, that's all that walking and sweating and everything then, right? All that good walking.
It must have been, but I was ready to say, 2.5 pounds. Like Tina said, what do you think you've gained since the last weigh-in? I said, 2.5 pounds easy. Because I mean, I was undisciplined in Vegas. I had a peanut butter burger for Pete's sake, and I'm sure there were 2 tablespoons of peanut butter on there, which is 6 points in and of itself. Not to mention bacon and bread
and chips
and all the things I'm not supposed to have in chips. Yeah. Oh yeah, potato chips on that damn thing.
Yep.
I had the grilled chicken sliders. No, it was the breaded chicken sliders at Hyper X. You know, the food there was really good. We never even talked about the food.
It was great there.
It was really good. Yeah, it wasn't the previous not Michael Mina. Who was it? Michael Mina was the pub we went to. I can't remember who the celebrity chef was that worked did the food for HyperX when they first opened. But
oh, I didn't know they had one.
That was the first thing they got rid of. Yeah.
Mm. Well, that's expensive.
Flatbreads. It was expensive.
Yeah, but so I the burger I had there was really good. Yeah.
Yeah.
Energized me.
Yeah, and then I had a freaking milkshake at LVB and a burger. No, that was a chicken sandwich too. You know, maybe I did better than I thought.
I think maybe you're making default choices that are just better in general.
Maybe, yeah. Wow.
That's where I need to get. I need to get to a place where I'm just making those choices without thinking about it. And yeah. I won't even tell you what I have for lunch today. Oh, I'm so pissed at freaking... Oh, it's a long story, but I...
No, now you got to tell me what you had for lunch today.
All right,
Scott.
So I was going to get...
I'll tell you what I had, and you'll probably be, you know...
Impressed.
I'll be collaborating with you. No, I'll be...
Oh.
Tina wanted a Mexican pizza from Taco Bell.
Yeah.
So I got that for her, and then I got a bean burrito for myself.
Yeah.
But the Mexican pizza that I got for her was the combo, which came with two Taco Supremes.
And you ate those.
And I ate her two Taco Supremes.
Ah, yeah, baby! This is what I would have done, too. That sounds awesome. All right, so I don't feel so bad about this. But I still feel a little bad because at least yours is an organized array of normal choices. Here's what happened to me. I've been testing these door delivery things. We like
is that what we're calling it? We're doing this is for science?
Yeah, it's for science. I like DoorDash. So far, they've been pretty great. On time, at good price, you know, their fees aren't too bad. They have a lot of freebie things. Once in a while, you just have to pay attention to them. They've been fine. And they've always been like right on time, like Johnny on the spot. Uber Eats, expensive. And the only one time I used them, they were slow as dirt. The only thing I liked about them is they accepted PayPal, which was kind of nice. But other than that, I didn't like Uber Eats very much. Then I tried Grubhub. Something wrong with that app. Like, it just, nothing came up right. It was just janky.
Really?
Yeah, I just had
problems. That's our go-to. There's a Chinese place that only delivers through Grubhub. We haven't ordered from them in a while, too, now that I think about it. But Grubhub is their app, and we use it specifically for them.
Yeah, I don't know what that, I know maybe, well, maybe Grubhub's just less prominent out here. DoorDash has tons of locations. Yeah. And so maybe that's the deal. But then I thought, all right, what's the only other one I really haven't tried? And there's a few other danglers, but the one I haven't tried is Postmates. So I thought, I'll try Postmates, see how they do. I like their app. So first impression, nice app. This was easy to sign up for. Cool. Uses Apple Pay, easy to do with the phone. Google Wallet if you have an Android phone. Like, they've got that stuff built in, which is nice. Okay, cool. I'm going to order something small and lean today. So I ordered a single burger, charbroil, not double, but a single from The Habit, and I got it with no mayo, no bacon, no cheese. Just the bread's really the only killer on it. Everything else on there, I reduced
lettuce, tomato.
Way lower calorie count, and I'm thinking, I'll have this and that's it. No fries, no shakes, no nothing, no drinks. I'm just going to have this burger, and it's going to be great. And I get to test out Postmates.
Sure.
Okay. And it was like, I don't know, $6 for the burger, and like the whole thing came out to
$11
like,
bucks for delivery.
it was maybe like $8.50 total for everything.
Okay. Oh, now, that's not bad at all.
No,
wow,
it wasn't bad. Yeah. And they also give you, you're supposed to tip like cash tip, and I had a couple bucks laying around for Postmates because Postmates doesn't do an in-app tip thing. So anyway, it says, we'll be there in 15 minutes. Your order has been taken. Yeah, 15 minutes. Keep your eye on the deal. We'll notify when it's ready. So I'm getting stuff done. I keep looking at my phone. I'm like, what's it say now? Because it's been 15. Oh, now it says 2:45 or 1:45. And this isn't even like prime lunchtime, so I don't even know why it's taking so long. I'm like, all right, well, it's an extra 15 minutes. No big deal. I check the thing again. It says, now your estimated delivery is 2:15 or something. I'm like, that's when I ordered it, as an hour ago, an hour before that, I ordered it. Are you telling me that this single burger in an hour is still not here? So the hour ticks all the way around. I'm going to let it have its thing. Ticks all the way around, hits an hour, and I go, well, this is real dumb. So I hop on Twitter to just say to Postmates, hey, is this normal for you guys for the first use of the app? I feel like you guys are making a horrible impression for the first time, right? And as I'm doing this, I get a text notification. Your order through Postmates has been canceled for reasons outside of our control. We thank you for your interest in Postmates. Like, that
Holy
was it.
Crap.
That was it.
Wow. Wow. Okay.
Double birded those guys. Yeah. I'm never using it again. That's... You made the worst first impression ever. Like, F that, dude. What the
you
crap?
You had one job, Postmates.
A single burger, 1 hour later, and then you cancel it. Like, are you kidding? I wonder if they've replied yet, because I sent them an angry
tweet. You got to wonder what the holdup was, right? Was it, Habit said, no, we're not going to make that, and I don't care. You got to go back to the customer and tell them that we're not going to make that. Probably not. I'm sure Habit would have been fine making that burger.
They should have. The options are in the app to take the stuff out that I took out was all part of the app, so I would assume that they could.
No, I'm thinking that the problem was part and parcel with Postmates, and the driver forgot, or the driver couldn't find Habit, or the driver couldn't find your house, or the driver went to post Habit, picked up your burger, set it on top of the car, got back in to do something, forgot the burger was on top of the car, drove off.
Yeah.
Or and then it was like, then like 45 minutes later, did you deliver the burger to, like his app tells him, you have not closed out this delivery. Have you delivered the burger to Scott Johnson? Oh,
oops.
I quit.
I'm done. And I wouldn't be surprised if all of those things were possibilities. Like, I never even saw a car. Usually on the app, you see where the car is for the people to pick it up. That never showed up. And the only status that ever was the Habit is preparing your order right up until cancellation. So I don't know. Like, it could have been the Habit, it could have been whatever, but I'm telling you, that is a lousy first impression for your little service there.
Horrendous.
So back to DoorDash it is. That's so far of all the five or six I've used, that one's always done us right. So
here's the story. Like, once you got to the, all right, ordered my door, your Postmates, blah, blah, blah. Here's where I thought the story was going to go.
Yeah.
Well, it's not going to show up for another 15 minutes. I could probably have like a little quick snack before it shows up. You know, I didn't get fries, so I'll have some potato chips. That'll be totally fine. I'll have some potato chips.
Okay, you're close.
Oh my God, an hour? All right, well, let's see. I'll make roll up some peanut butter and jelly in a tortilla. Have one of those really quick while I'm waiting.
All right, you're not far from the truth, except it all happened at once instead of spread out throughout the delay.
Well, yeah, once you found out that burger wasn't coming, it's like, all right, well, what am I making?
Really once quick? It got canceled, I'm like, well, I got a TMSPM coming up. I got to do something. So I had two mouthfuls of that peanut butter, half a bag of beef jerky, a handful of corn pop cereal, dry.
Uh-huh.
Literally a handful. Took it out of the box and in my hand.
Sure. Yeah.
And what else? Oh, Nick had some leftover chicken wing in a box in the fridge, and I ate that chicken wing. That was lunch. That was it. It was terrible, dude. Only some water. I didn't drink any pop or anything.
I remember seeing that as the secret ingredient on Chef Ramsay's show. You're going to make, you donkeys, I want you to make a meal with a handful of corn pops. Yesterday's chicken wing.
Half a bag of teriyaki jerky.
And two tablespoons of peanut butter. You can't make it, you don't deserve to be in my kitchen, you donkey.
Well, it didn't go well. And I wish I'd have had that burger, but F those guys. I'm pissed at them. And they still haven't answered me on Twitter. Like, their support thing should have answered me by now. I don't know. I don't know what I should expect. Maybe they're sucking it. Maybe they're at the bottom of this food delivery chain or something, and they're just struggling. I don't know, but not doing it again.
All right, Postmates. Well, not only have you pushed Scott away, you've pushed me away and a bunch of listeners away. I hope you're happy with yourself. Thank you very much. Yes. Good day.
KT Data, who lives out here, says he doesn't trust any of these places, especially DoorDash. We're the opposite. It's the only one that ever does it for me. They're the only ones that come on time. They're incredibly friendly. They rush up to the door. They're usually ahead of what they said it was going to take. Like, I don't know why. Right here in Daybreak, they're killing it.
Which company had the guy who sucked down some of the guy's milkshake, and they watched it on their Ring doorbell as the guy was standing on their doorstep?
No, I don't remember. Was that Grubhub? It may have been DoorDash. I don't remember. Somewhere in California where he was slurped down their shake and then still gave it to him. I've never.
This is really good. You're going to like this. Yeah. It's awesome.
Chad says, have you ever had the same Dasher twice? No, I don't think so. I mean, Nick and the kids may have because they do it a lot. But anyway, that was dumb, and I'm dumb for... I'm dumb for my whole day is dumb. The day is dumb.
You're using a company, a service that does the thing that you needed them to do. Your car is with Kim.
Yeah, Kim has her car. Nick has the other car. I have no car right now.
Right.
So I'm literally at the. There's some places I could walk, but I don't really want to because I'm lazy and I don't want to go.
You don't want a green burrito. Carl's Jr. green burrito, whatever the combo is.
Ugh. I mean, there is a couple of. There's a Del Taco, but that's a ways off. The closest place is The Break, which is like a bar pub food thing over here. None of that's good for me. I mean, it's good food, but it's like huge servings. And
well, yeah, they don't have the Corn Pops peanut butter teriyaki jerky.
No, they don't.
Platter.
No, they don't. I'm never going there again until they get that on their menu, those jerks.
Until they put that on the menu.
Yeah. Or learn to cook, says the Wraith 86. Oh, with what ingredients shall I do it with, the Wraith 86? Shall I hop into my non-existent car and go grocery shopping? Oh, you know what I could do?
You're telling me that there's nothing in the house that you can cook.
I could cook something, but this is the truth, because when we left to Vegas, it was already kind of sparse. The kids ate whatever was left.
The kids ate whatever, right.
And we haven't had time because Kim literally left again on Wednesday morning, like 5 in the morning. So we haven't done any of that stuff. I haven't really had the car, and Nick hasn't been here to use that car. So there hasn't been time to... So there's nothing green in the fridge. I did find a carrot today that's like a limp penis.
Oh.
Yeah, threw that away.
Are you prepared to eat this old carrot?
It's really old. You know how they get, right? When they're super wobbly. Yeah. Yes. It was not good. Anyway, this is all just me being stupid. I'm sure there's better ways. I got friends around here. I could call Darren and go, dude, can we hop in your car and go to freaking Smith's and get some food or something? And he would have said yes.
Right.
I mean, there's ways. I'm not saying I'm a man on an empty island and I have no options.
You don't necessarily want to like feel like you're using your friend just for a ride to the nearest Hardee's.
Right. Exactly. And he doesn't need the temptation of buying something dumb, too, because he's doing, like, CrossFit now and everything to lose his weight.
You know, if you really want to do a test, here's what I would say you do is you when the kids are home, or at least Nick, and he's going to help you eat these, you order as close to the same thing at the same time from all the different services and see who gets it to you the hottest, who gets it to you the fastest.
All from the same place, because all of them do Habit, for example. We could totally do that.
There you go. You could do a little Habit test.
Yeah. I already know. Test over with Postmates.
Postmates.
But we need a good baseline. Yeah, it's not a bad idea. I kind of enjoyed. I did kind of make, not scientific, but I made it kind of like a thing. I'm like, oh, let's try these guys. And part of that is also they all have a little free delivery day or...
Right.
You know, some kind of deal going on. So you take advantage of the deal and then you see how their service is. And those guys suck.
It would be interesting. It would be interesting to see. And then you'd be like, oh, wow, you know, I thought DoorDash was the best one here. But holy cow, Uber Eats delivered it. And it was way hotter than the one that I got from DoorDash.
Yeah. I mean, at the end of the day, it's probably like Uber and Lyft where all these guys do multiples anyway. Like, it's the same lady. The other day, my Dasher was named Judy.
Could be.
I'll bet you Judy does all 5 of them whenever there's a need.
Right. So, same person shows up and says, all right, well, here's your burger from Habit.
Yeah, and here's the one.
Here's your burger from Habit.
She puts glasses on for the next one, turns her hat around. All right, this is the one from this. Okay, wait. Puts it sideways. Exactly. Puts a little mustache on real quick. Okay, this is the one from Postmates.
That's true. Yeah, it could be that.
Yeah, I see. At least I hear that's what they do. Because wouldn't that make sense if you were doing this on the side?
Totally. You'd sign up. It's like people who sign up and work for both Lyft and Uber. Mm-hmm. They just take whatever is available, whatever comes first. Get a job on Uber, great. Turn off Lyft for a little while, drive the Uber guy around, and then come back and turn both on. And
were you on the
start
Lyft
that cycle?
Were you in the Lyft with me with the guy from? Oh no, that was Wendy and Misha.
Yeah, I don't think I was ever in a Lyft with you.
We had other than the van thing, right? We took the van over to the station thing. Not the van, but the big.
Oh, right. Yeah. Yes, when we took
I was in the
when
back.
We went to the wrong station. When we went to Main Street Station, because Brian thought that's where the movie theater was. Hey, where's your movie theater?
Yeah. But you know what? That Main Street Station, that place is cool.
It's nice. It feels like you're in, like you're walking into Miss Lily's in Bonanza or something, right? Like,
it's so clean and new. Missoula said they just redid it, but it used to be a huge dump. But
I, and it's, you know, it may be too early to start talking about this. I wouldn't mind actually maybe creating a channel in the Viva TMS Vegas Discord about this, but I'd like to find out people's experiences with Plaza, because, you know, there are other hotels that would give us the same kind of deal as Plaza.
Sure.
And there are some that are newer and nicer, and some that are even closer to the center part of Fremont Street. I mean, there's even a possibility we could maybe score the same kind of deal at one of the places on the Strip that's like, not the upper end stuff, but like Tropicana or whatever. But, you know, when I walked into my room, it had not been cleaned since the last people left it.
Really?
I don't know if I told you about that. Yeah, it was the bed was like, there was food all over the counter, like a pizza box with stuff in it. There were.
I had no idea. No.
Yeah. And I was like, oh, man, you know, I've been traveling over here from the Strip and I just want to drop my stuff off because I've got to go over to the other place, to Luxor, and get stuff started there and da da da. And so, yeah, I just didn't want to deal with it. But I had to go to the bathroom really bad. I was like, all right, well, I'm going to the bathroom.
Yeah, yeah.
And you know, thinking, well, what would be the problem with that? Well, nothing until you're done going to the bathroom. You leave the tiny little bathroom box that you're in, the toilet box that you're in.
Yeah.
You go over to the sink and realize, oh, yeah, there's not a brand new soap that has never been touched by human hands that I get to start myself. There is the last people's soap.
Oh.
And who knows if there's going to be a pubic hair on there or something that's just going to be like, oh, I don't want to touch it. And then it's like, all right, well, it's soap is soap, right? Soap washes itself when you wash with soap.
In theory,
technically, in theory, it should be washing.
Yeah.
But then it's like, oh, drying my hands. There isn't a fresh towel I can use.
Mm-mm.
I'm basically spinning the wheel of fortune, and it's either going to come up, you're using the towel that nice lady used on her face, or you're using the towel that they use to clean up whatever mess there was, or the one the guy dried off his junk with after he got back from the pool or something like that.
Yeah,
like,
exactly. Ah. You're using John Candy's underwear in the sink. Basically, that's what's happening. That's
exactly what I was thinking. Like,
that's exactly it. So I feel for you in that regard. As far as my experience was, we had a sink that was never not a billion degrees. Like
it
couldn't. It couldn't do lukewarm to cold. It could only do 1,000 degrees.
So like that other same scene from Planes, Trains, and Automobiles where Steve Martin gets in the hot shower and he's like flicking water onto his face.
Yes. Yes, that's exactly it. And then, so you'd brush your teeth in the sink and it would just, you'd be like, okay. And then you get used to it. But then you had to rinse with, that was awful. So that was bad.
Somebody give me a gif of what Scott just did, by the way.
Oh my gosh, don't. But then the shower thing, what's it called, shower nozzle, is like to my chest. It's not up here where it's supposed to be.
Yeah it was super. We had an adjustable one, or did
ours
we?
Was,
or
was not
that
at
the
ours was definitely not adjustable.
No, never mind, that was at Park MGM. Basically it was like a bar
shower
and
head.
You could move, and then it was a removable handle thing, so you could do, you know, get the whole underarm and back and clean your undercarriage and all that
you
stuff.
Guys had a suite, right?
We had a suite at Plaza. I didn't have one.
So did
at,
I,
at,
but
Park
we didn't.
MGM.
Yeah. We, I had one too.
Saying,
No.
I'm saying that shower was at Park MGM. That was
gotcha. Yeah, because that stuff's all newer and everything. These are like these are things that like Sammy Davis Jr. used to use in the 60s,
right.
Man.
It has not been upgraded. The Plaza has not been upgraded since Joey Bishop was their their headliner.
Right, exactly. So anyway, go look at pictures.
I'll work with Dave Michael. We'll get a survey sent out to everybody who bought tickets and just say, all right, well, let's talk about all the different things. You know, did you like the concert? Did you like the board game thing? Did you like the Plaza?
Did you like your badass coins that you got? Like how badass.
The badass coins. This stays on my desk because it's so freaking awesome.
So heads is our faces, right? And tails is the.
It would have to be, yeah. It's because it literally has heads on it.
Yep, there it is. Yeah, you have to do the. Yeah, it'd be dumb if we didn't do the heads. I should have put our butts on the backside. That would have been funny. By the way, I found out these are iron and gold plate. Ooh.
Wow. Iron and gold plate.
Still some on the
and
store.
I didn't hear about one person trying to use it to buy chips at the roulette table. So yeah. Very good one. Good for you guys.
Yeah, good job. Wonderful. No one tried to jam it into a coin slot, as far as I know. Well, what, certain coin slots. Put that right over there. All right, Dan.
Free hotel room, by the way, is saying that my Benadryl and OJ story would have been much better if I would have taken the Zoot Suit Toot up on her offer.
I didn't expect this to ring. Sorry, that cut you off. Wait, you were going to do what with the Zoot Suit lady? What'd you say?
No, free hotel room is in the chat room. He says that my Benadryl and OJ story would have been much more interesting if I had taken the Zoot Suit Toot up on her offer.
Oh, well, that's good to know. I'm always happy
thank
when
you. Free. Thank you, free hotel room. Yeah. Thank you.
I'm always happy when he's able to pipe in here and give us what for. All right, we have a friend on the phone. I don't have music for him. I'll just play this. Do-do-do-do-do, it's Dan Patrice. He plays lots of board games, and he likes to go to Gen Con. And if you ask him really nicely, he might just kiss your mom. All right, I'm done with this song.
Greetings, programs.
Hi, Dan. It's nice to see you, bud. It's been a while. How you been?
Yeah, man. I'm doing good. You got to be real careful next year because you might have to talk to David Michael about which weekend, because I'm pretty sure the NFL draft is in Vegas next year.
Yeah, I heard
so
that.
So that place is going to be insane if it's that same weekend.
Yeah, because it was going possible. On the weekend we were there. We were watching. That was all over the TVs while we were there.
Yeah, look, and there was like 600,000 people like descended on. I think it was Nashville this year. So that's going
to be crazy. We are early enough to say this. If my nerdtacular idea pans out, it may not matter because it may not require a weekend and specifically one in Vegas, although I wouldn't mind doing it in Vegas.
Beauty.
But
sounds
we'll
good
see
to me.
But all I know is
spectacular in Vegas. Let's
just say it might involve a lot of board games and that Dan would want to be there.
I would be certainly would be there
more than usual. Sure. I mean, like, not just there's side rooms with board games. I mean, maybe it'd be the focus.
No way.
Oh. I'm just keep rubbing my face. Hey,
I was talking to Confirmed about all that stuff. So very cool.
Yeah, it's there's some. We we're too early to say anything definitive.
Yeah.
We got plenty of ideas. Hey,
Dan, certainly keep me in a loop.
Oh yeah, you're always in my loop, buddy boy. Dan is here, of course, to talk with us about the various goings on in the world of tabletop gaming. I mean, we should probably tell you a couple of things we played.
Yeah, I'd love to hear what you got to play out there.
Yeah, Brian, we didn't have a ton of time because Brian and I were doing a lot of running around, but we did get to play, and Brian ran a game of Joust. Do you know that turn-based Joust board game?
So are you talking about the one that's like coming out this year or kind of an older one?
Oh, I don't know.
No, it came out it is brand new. And are you saying that it's not out yet? Like we played a pre-release version of it?
Ooh. Well, I mean, it's probably, I think it, I don't know if there was a pre-order or a Kickstarter, because all these people were wondering if it even was ever coming out. And then people started posting pictures of, it's real. I got my copy. So I don't know. I've been waiting to hear about it because the designer, he did Sentinel Tactics, which was Sentinels of the Multiverse, but turn-based. Mm-hmm. That came out a few years ago. Mm-hmm. So, I mean, he's got some good pedigree to him.
Well, here's the crazy thing about that game. And I was terrible at it and I never could get it right. Brian did much better than me. He also ran the game well, I think.
Actually won. You know, I didn't as much run the game as I had the rules in front of me, but Midzula, you need a guy who plays the ROM, who's basically the ROM for that game, and says, all right, now it's your turn. You're going to do this. You're going to do this. Yeah. Everybody moves up, and he moves everybody up. And
right. We did. That was nice. You got to have that guy around. You almost need somebody like that for like Monopoly or any other game. Just whoever's in charge of making sure shit gets moved around. He was great at that.
Right. Well, you need somebody, especially with a turn-based or strategy kind of based game. You need somebody that kind of runs the whole thing. He's kind of like he's almost the DM of your Joust game.
Yeah. He's the computer because normally these would be a computer game. But anyway, what they had done with that game, my impression was, and Brian can confirm or deny this, but it felt like they/he had figured out a way to say, all right, Joust is this game. We know what that game is, what it does, how it plays. And it's all in real time, and it's fast, and it's arcadey and all that. It's my favorite arcade game of all time. He looked at that and said, hey, what if we broke it down in extreme slow motion so that every single flap, move, left, right, up, down, gravity, where the eggs fall, all of it, mm-hmm. including the AI of the bad guys,
the buzzards,
all of it is done just one frame at a time. That's the game.
and altitude matters and stuff like that, right?
I don't know if altitude so much as, yeah, no, because you can take, you can do a full far, you know, bottom landing, it won't hurt you.
Right.
And
right.
in there, but little things like momentum, right, Brian? Like there was a momentum uh-huh. system in it. Because in Joust, yeah, like if you're going really fast,
you couldn't just change direction on a dime. You had to go back the other way and then slowly turn and change direction.
Which yeah. is just like the game Joust, but done, like I say, almost like frame by frame. It was weird. It's almost like yeah. there are little elves in an actual Joust machine where they're running at a billion miles a second. But if you slowed the camera right. down, they're all just little elves in there working on each frame like we were in this board game. It was a very odd experience. But I liked cool, it. I yeah. sucked, though. Oh, my gosh, that was bad.
Scott had to really, like, put his brain on, like, okay, well, you also were getting constantly distracted while we were playing. And so you'd come to be your turn, and you're like, well, then I'm going to move. I'm going to go straight left. It's like, oh, straight left? Okay, there's a buzzard right to your left. Yeah. Go for it.
And then once I did it, they would hold me to it.
I go left, you're dead.
But that's the problem, is you got people taking pictures, coming up, poking you, going, hey, do you yeah. know about this thing there? So I couldn't focus. But even then, I should have been, like, after every turn, I went, oh, yeah, right. It does flap first, so vertical movement first, horizontal second.
Right.
That's the and order.
Right. And you would always, like, think of the horizontal first, and you'd end up like, all right, I'm going to go right and avoid that buzzard. No, right up
yeah,
his butt.
Right
and,
up his butthole. Yeah. And you have three lives, just like the game would give you, and I was done before anyone else. But Brian, I guess, ended up winning. It was fun, though. I mean,
that's cool.
I would play that game again and try much harder to focus and not screw that up, because I think it would be cool, and I love that game. So I don't know, Brian, what was your impression? You seem to have a better handle
yeah,
on it than I did.
I actually did enjoy it. I felt like it was exactly like you described. Like, they figured out what the game is from an arcade standpoint and said, all right, how do we use dice to replicate every single move you make in that game?
Right.
And that's exactly how it was.
And
so,
I'm sure there are other games like that, but just to translate a thing we all know into such a yeah. slow-mo thing was so weird to me.
And it's not all that expensive either, which is pretty cool.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And it looked good. Had nice little, you know, pieces. It was like kind of that compressed board stuff, and for the pieces, it wasn't like, you know, fancy pewter dudes or anything weird like that, but it was still pretty cool. And I did like, they had background stories and art for each of the I keep saying roosters,
the players,
the ostriches, yeah, the, and the players. Ostriches. So the one guy's name is like Daring Dylan and his Dirty Bird Derek or whatever the hell it was. I don't remember what they were. But it was like that, and then you would have this little backstory, and the cartoon work was really good. So, you know, it was a neat little thing I didn't expect to like as much as I did. It was cool.
The company IDW that has put this game out, it's got a whole Atari kind of little line that they're kind of going with. Mm-hmm. And it's pretty much about the best rated one of the group. I think Centipede was rated okay, but some of the other ones are not rating high.
Mm. Wait, Centipede, how does that work? Same kind of idea?
Yeah, I have no idea. Exactly, I haven't played any of these. I just saw that there was a whole game line, and I know some of the designers that have done some of these, because the Missile Command has Jonathan Gilmore. Actually, Centipede also has Jonathan Gilmore. So, yeah, these are interesting games. And actually, Nicole Kahn and Anthony Amato, they did Laser Riders, mm-hmm. Which is out by Greater Than Games as well. And that's a fun game. But yeah, this line, I don't know if I wonder if this will be the best one. Maybe they'll continue trying to dip into the well.
Hmm. Yeah, I'm curious about it. I did want to tell everybody who watched or witnessed us playing that, I'm really good at regular Joust. I can totally do it.
Well, sure. Yeah, different skills.
Yeah, but if people came up to you with during regular Joust, you'd have a problem too.
Yeah, I'd still be distracted, but I would have gotten a lot further. And it's funny because, you know, like 30 minutes of time in this board game is like 3 seconds in Joust. It's so weird. Yeah. Such a weird, elongated thing. But Brian, was there any other games that you ended up... I played the foam gun game, and I always forget the name of it.
Bang.
Is it just Bang?
I think it's just called Bang, yeah.
Yeah, because there's Bang.
Looked like a really cool game.
Added.
The artwork is like, all right, but the game itself looks like it'd be really cool.
It's really
fun.
Talking
about Cash and Guns.
That's
I think.
It.
That's
Cash
what
and
they
guns.
Said. Yeah, because Bang's a little guns, different than Cash and Guns.
Yeah, Cash and Guns was it. It's John Kovalik did the artwork. He's your what's the name of the games?
He's from Munchkin.
Munchkin, thank you.
Yes. Oh, Munchkin.
Yeah, right. Munchkin and Dork Tower and all that. He's cool dude, but I didn't know that. I'd never heard of this game before, and Tony brought it, so I'm thinking, oh, great, he's one of drunk Tony's games. That's what I was thinking, right? Tony Sandoval, one of his drunk party games. But no, that thing was freaking fun. It was great. It was like a Mexican, what do they call that? Mexican standoff? Where everybody gets up from a table and aims at and everyone's aiming at each other? What's that called? Oh, everyone went quiet. Why? Oh, hold on. Hello? Did I mute something? Oh, I did. Sorry. Sorry. I muted the whole thing. It's not muted now, though. Everything's good. Keyboard has been moved.
I think it's called a Mexican standoff, right? Yeah. Where it's like, where did he get that fifth ace? And then everybody stands up with their guns drawn.
Yeah, it's like that, except the guy who has the mob like desk.
Reservoir Dogs.
Yeah, it is. Yes. Right. It's like that thing in Reservoir Dogs. Right. And the guy who has the desk, it's like a desk card, he can then at that point say, all right, I want you to now aim at him. So he can change somebody's aim. Mm-hmm. So if he's being aimed at, he can have at least one person switch his aim. And then you have bullets and clicks. And the bullets, which are called bang cards, that's a hit. And the bullets, or I'm sorry. Yeah, and the, sorry, that they have bullets on the outside of them. But the bang card's a hit. The click card is a click. In the game rules, you're supposed to just play those however you want to, and I guess there's some strategy to that. The way we played is we shuffled them, and you didn't know what it was going to be till you turned it over. So you didn't know if you were... So basically, it added Russian roulette into the game.
Mm-hmm.
And that, I think, made it more fun.
That's a more fun variant to use on that.
It was really cool. Anyway, we had a blast with that. That's cool. And I was surprised, because I usually don't like these prop games, you know? I'm not really into the whole, like, there's a tower, and when you get the thing, you blow on it, and then the other guy picks his butt. You know, I'm not into that as much. I like cards.
They've changed those guns a bunch over the years because they used to be a little bit too close, even with the tip on there.
Mm-hmm.
Really? Just the tip. Yeah, but now it's like they're like bright orange with a tip and stuff like that because there's some fun pictures. Actually, you should see, I don't know if somebody can find that on BGG, but there's a really fun picture of that game with like these old ladies sitting around a table pointing guns at each other. That's really fun.
Well, yeah, and these look pretty cartoony, but even from a distance because these were black and had their orange tip. So I guess the orange tip's enough, but if they didn't have that orange tip, these look like guns from far away. It was weird. Yeah. Super weird. But anyway, very fun game. I'm trying to think of other stuff.
I did not get a chance to play Guns Shown Clever. I wanted to, but it just never worked out time-wise. So played on my iPad plenty, but not in real life
yet. Yeah, I'm looking. I have an email. I have to email Steven to see if I can get you guys a couple of real copies of Guns Shown Clever sent out to you guys.
Okay, cool.
All right, I want to play that. My goal was that I would be at a table, Brian would be there, and he would help me understand that game, and it just never happened because we ran out of time. But anyway, it was really cool. It was fun.
And it's a piece of cake. Once you're looking at the thing, it looks like it's like five different languages and hieroglyphics, but when you're explaining it, you know, when Brian explains it to you, you're like, oh, this completely makes sense.
Well, I held off getting the app version until I actually get that experience because I think that'll bust it wide open for me.
Oh, no. Do the app first.
Should I just get it?
Definitely do the app first. Yes, because the app and don't use the instructions in the app. Go to YouTube, watch a video of it, do it on the app, and then you're going to be ready for the dice one because I cannot imagine doing it in the opposite order.
Hmm. And I mean, Brian could back me up here. I mean, you're talking about a one poop turnaround to learn this game. Oh. That's all it'll take.
Yes. Yeah, pretty much. It's a one poop turnaround.
Wow. I like a one poop turnaround. Well, Dan, forget about what we want.
Way to come up with a show title just like that. Nicely done, sir.
That was out of thin air. Nice work.
It was.
Dan.
Well, I saw some news this week that I'm going to put it in the Skype chat for you. Okay. I know you – I don't play this CCG, but I know you've played – and it's not going to be a CCG, but I know you've played Eternal. Isn't that right, Scott?
Oh, the card game, yeah. Are they making a physical version of that? Are you kidding me?
Well, they're going to make a physical version, but it's going to be different. So it's not going to be a CCG. This is going to be a deck-building game, which is what we would, you know, people like us would really want because we don't want to buy packs and crap like that. Yeah. We don't have to make up our decks.
Yeah.
This is kind of, they're going to more than likely put kind of a middle row there, and you'll have a starting hand, and then you'll have to get your hand, and you're going to be kind of killing each other back, you know, attacking each other back and forth using the way the cards come out in their little system. Mm-hmm. It's probably going to be a smaller box game. If I had to guess, it's probably going to be like, I'm going to pull my, this is my inner Tom Merritt. It's probably going to be like this. It's going to be like Shards of Infinity, which is also a deck building game where you're fighting one-on-one. And this is this one was made by Justin Gary, who's one of the Ascension designers, and he's a former Magic pro. But this is a ton of fun. I think it's going to be very, very similar, where you're each going to have your life total, but as you're playing the game, different things will come out where you'll be able to either getting more currency to buy better cards or help your, you know, getting life or attacking each other.
100% in on this, and here's why. I played quite a bit of Eternal when I was just kind of sick of Hearthstone, and I think it is this, if not the best, one of the best. And if you're if we say Hearthstone's the best, then this is right behind it. Like it's really good, really well made. Those Direwolf guys know what they're doing. And my only complaint is the same complaint I have about Hearthstone, which is I don't want to buy decks. I don't like CCGs. I don't like collecting cards. It's just not my thing. There are plenty of people who's that's their thing, and that's great. To hear that they're doing a deck building game, beyond stoked. I had no idea this was happening. I'm very excited about it.
Absolutely. And I don't see, I'd have to, you know, it would take me a little bit to find who's actually the creator behind this, but
here it is.
The designer is Paul Denon.
Do you know who that is? Is that somebody famous?
Nah, I'm not sure. I could probably pull him up real quick to find out who that is, but the name doesn't ring a bell. But he's probably in that same state. Oh, he's one of the creators of Clank, which is another deck-building game, which is an amazing deck-building game. Clank and Clank in Space.
Oh, yeah, here we go. Also, Star Chamber, Legends of Norrath, Star Wars Galaxy CCG, Free Realm CCG, and most recently, Eternal and Elder Scrolls Legends. He actually worked on the video game versions of those, which Direwolf.
Yeah, he must be more. See, some of those other games are video games. These, the ones that he's done as far as tabletop goes, are the Eternal one, the Clank in Space. You guys would absolutely love Clank and Clank in Space. They're just deck building games where regular Clank is you're going into a dungeon, and as you're using your cars and you're going and picking up artifacts and stuff, and then fighting monsters. But as you're doing this, you're making noise, and there's a dragon in there that as you make noise, you're putting cubes into a bag. And then every now and then the dragon's going to wake up. You're going to pull some cubes out of the bag and you may get bit and stuff like that. Like, so after you take a certain amount of damage, you're just dead. So once you get an artifact or you take a certain amount of damage, you want to get the hell out of that dungeon. And then once you get out of the dungeon, then it's kind of timer starts for everybody else. And sometimes you just can't get out. You just get eaten before you get out of there. But and Clank in Space is the same thing. It just takes place in space where you're on a ship trying to escape a ship and there's a bunch of aliens. It's a little more in depth, and it's kind of like I like Clank in Space a little bit better because it's a little deeper. But Clank is an amazing game too.
All right. Well, I have to. Now you got me excited. This will be $25. Is this already for pre-order?
May be for pre-order real soon. This will be out probably at Gen Con.
Gorgeous though.
If they're gonna put it out with Direwolf Digital, I bet you it'll be an app real quick for it.
Yeah, and Brian, you're right. Mm-hmm. This is all. I think a lot of this, if not all of it, is art they pulled from the game, the video game. But it's they're really good. Their staff artists are insane. Like right up there with Blizzard. In fact, there probably some ex-Blizzard in there as far as I know. But
I'll be running over to this booth at Gen Con to pick it up for sure.
That's when's that? July? When is that?
August? End of July. It's just like July 31st to the beginning of August. So I bet you they'll probably have a bunch of these in their booth.
Yeah, you'll have to let us know what's going on with that. Oh, that reminds me, I have the worst family reunion coming up that week. I am so annoyed that I even have to go to it. I don't want to go to it. I don't want anything to. All anyone has to even say to me is, Scott, So August, and I go, freaking August.
Well, you know, in June, you can just fly out to Columbus and go to Origins.
Oh, that's right. Origins is coming again. There was all sorts of talk about that, or they had just been there when I was there last year.
Yeah, that's a blast, too, because it's a little more of a chill Gen Con, where it's a little more tabletop, and there's just a very relaxed city, and in the North Market, it's a ton of fun to go for lunch and everything. It's just a great city too.
I like Columbus a lot. That was awesome there. What if the name, Nerdtacular became synonymous with an excellent tabletop event? What would that be like? How would that make everyone feel?
It would. I think it would make it would stoke the fires. I think.
All right, I'm just dropping hints. All right, well, sweet. I'll definitely check this one out.
Nerdtacular Indie? Is that where we're going?
I don't know what I don't know what you're saying or I'm saying. I don't know what anyone's saying. anything else this week that people should glom onto and play?
Well, I mean, like I said, I would probably check out Shards of Infinity because you can get that pretty cheap as well. And it might, you know, get you primed for Eternal, and there'll be that app will be out real soon. The Shards of Infinity app, and that's probably the way you'd want to get in there, because the app will have, because I've been in the beta test for that app, and the the tutorial is very good in that one, and it's a very, very quick play too.
Is it app, played on app or I see it's on Steam. Can I get this on iOS or something, or is it just...
Yeah, well, it'll be on... Is it early access on Steam?
It is.
Yeah. So it should be releasing real soon. I'm not sure if it's on the final release or when they're going, but they keep having new beta builds, so they're testing out a lot of things for the iOS.
Oh, it's only $8. I'm going to just get it.
Oh, yeah. It's going to be real good. It's a fun game. You can play against the AI, and then you'll be able to play against people, but just practice up against... Half the fun of just playing this is just getting the fun in of playing it against the AI.
Yeah. Okay.
Yeah, I'm gonna, you, really, really good.
Once again, you're driving me to do a thing.
And you got to say, go Canes, man.
Yeah, no.
Hurricanes can go for the sweep tonight against the Islanders. My wife took DJ to the game tonight, so I figured I'd come and hang out with you boys.
Yeah, hockey is a thing. It's a big deal. And your family's all
Rocky
up in it.
Or Avalanche, Colorado Avalanche are doing well as well.
Are they? Played a good game last night. I'm rooting for the Avalanche. I want to get San Jose out of there.
Who's where's DeVegas and all this? The Knights are playing who? I don't even
know. The Knights lost in a very controversial fashion to San Jose.
I didn't know that.
Yeah.
Okay.
And they lost the night before we all arrived. I'm sorry, the night before I arrived. So that's why the Caesar that's holding a hockey stick in front of Caesar's Palace was holding a broken hockey stick on Wednesday.
Oh, man. I mean, I noticed the Statue of Liberty at New York was still wearing the jersey. They should have done something there, too, like have it ripped in half or something.
She's wearing a new jersey, Scott. It's a new jersey.
Is she wearing a new jersey? But pretty soon she'll be wearing a Steelers jersey because that thing's getting built fast. I noticed
Raiders
it driving by it. Yeah, what'd I say? Did I not say Raiders? Oh, I didn't mean Steelers. I meant Raiders.
They can have the Steelers too. We don't care about that.
And let the Steelers play on Monday nights. Everything else will be Raiders. But when we drove past there, Kim and I, just to kind of get a closer look, it's awesome.
It's huge. Yeah, huge stadium.
Yeah.
And it's going to be interesting to see what happens to traffic out there. It's actually going to be interesting to see. I mean, the Raiders are notorious for having a more aggressive fan base.
Yeah. Very eclectic as well.
Oh, yeah. No.
Yeah, but actually true. Right.
I don't want to go out there on game nights, if I'm honest. Or I want to be there.
Where is it compared? Is it like far enough outside the city? Kind of like the NASCAR stadium?
It's across the highway from like Luxor and Excalibur and stuff like that. So, behind the butt of the strip.
Yeah.
Is the new stadium. And I think they're making some sort of tramway that takes people right to the strip so they could park at, you know, one of the casinos there, pay for parking there.
Right.
And then take this tramway or something across, a walkway across to the stadium.
Here's what I'll do. I'll go up there, get into a hotel the day before the game, and then not come out until all those wackos leave.
I think that's a very good plan. Yes.
Yeah, that's what I'm going to do.
It's also called Saturday night in Vegas, though. Because that's where all the wackos are. I mean, it's insane over there.
I thought,
it's already insane with the Golden Knights.
Yeah.
When the Golden Knights are playing, it is already crazy. All the fan love and shirts and all that stuff. I can't imagine what it's going to be like when the Raiders show up.
It's going to be crazy. Actual Raiders fans are insane.
I'd love to see a Golden Knights game out there.
Yeah,
that must
be
a blast.
Yeah, right?
They do it up right before the game and during the game. That's quite the presentation.
Still crazy how long it took Vegas to get pro teams. I think that's just crazy.
Yeah.
But it should have happened 20 years ago.
They had to figure out the whole gambling situation.
Yeah, that's the biggest thing, is the whole gambling thing on all of it. And then now that it's getting legalized, just about pretty much everywhere, I think they've legalized it now. So, I mean, that makes the stigma a little bit better. Yeah. And I don't know. See, Brian, you'd know this more. Do they allow bets on Vegas in Vegas, like when they're in town or ever?
Yeah, you can bet on the teams that are playing. Wow. You can bet on the Vegas teams, which, you know, brings in the whole question of like, all right, could a player bet a huge amount of money on his team to lose and then throw the game so that he wins?
Well, then he'd be Pete Rose.
Then he'd be back in Vegas.
Mandalay Bay.
Yeah. He'd be back in Vegas in line for signatures at Mandalay Bay.
He's always there. He's there constantly. And let me correct. See, Pete Rose allegedly, that's an alleged thing, but he said he never bet on his team to lose.
Yeah.
Right.
Allegedly.
I mean, it's true he said that.
Yeah, he absolutely said it.
It's true he said that. That's what I'll say. It's what he said.
Those are some words that came out of his mouth.
I don't work with him anymore. I used to do his website. I used to do PeteRose.com.
Yeah.
For years, I was MrPeteRose.com. And he is a very difficult person to work with because, number one, he never remembers you. So, like, I'd go there year after year and meet with him and say, hey, Pete, it's great to see you, and you hope you like the changes we made to the site. Oh, yeah, how are you?
So every time I've been to Vegas, he's been there.
Okay, who are you?
And he's always sitting there at the place that he's doing like autographs. He always has a TV right next to him, and he's always betting the ponies as he's as he's doing signatures right there.
It's because he's addicted to gambling, like we all thought in the first place. Hey, by the way, that website doesn't work anymore. They must
really? They really? PeteRose.com?
PeteRose.com ends up nothing, just blank.
Oh, you know, was that still under my name? Was I supposed to renew that? I think I'm still on the domain.
You know, they used to call them squatters. They're going to call them ibbots now, from now on.
It totally doesn't work. No kidding.
Yeah, it's down.
Well, that is a ridiculous oversight. Jeez.
It was a bad week at the track for Pete.
Where are all the Pete Rose fans? When the Pete Rose fans have to go find him, where are they going to go?
Right. Man, how are they going to know which Las Vegas art of autographs or whatever those stores are called?
Yeah.
How are they going to know which one of those he's at? Is he going to be in the Mirage? Is he going to be in Mandalay Bay?
How is he not? How did he work with you? And knowing what you are a singular looking person. Like, I see Brian Ibbett and I go, oh, that's an interesting looking dude. And the next time I see you, I go, I know that guy because he's interesting. I've seen him before. Like, I would not have a problem remembering you. How he does that, I don't get that. Is he just old?
I don't know. Well, the dude takes pictures and hangs out with like 100, 200, 300 people a day to take photos. And he talks with them. Oh, did you like my time in Cincinnati? Oh, that's good. Yeah. Okay. Hold on. Let me put some money on Cigar to win this one. All right. Hold on. Let me go.
A horse named Cigar.
It's because Brian Ibbett is the most interesting man in the world.
In the world.
Cigar won the Kentucky Derby a few years ago.
Oh, he did? Is that an actual name? I didn't know that.
That's an actual horse name.
Oh, they're usually things like Paddington's fart knocker gets in front while 200-pound singing lady is in the rear. Like, they're never the same.
Right.
Or they're never short. So I like a one-syllable name for a horse. I'm into it.
Yeah.
Dan, also speaking of one-syllable names, it's good to have you here as always. Find people know where they can find more Dan during the week.
You can find me at the Geek All-Stars podcast, and you can also find me top five on the Major Spoilers podcast, doing some top five Express Board Games Edition and some Munchkin Minute. I do that on the Munchkin Land podcast, do a little board game news. I'll have another one coming up next week with some, probably talk about this Eternal thing a little bit more, and there's some other good announcements that have come down the road and a lawsuit that's been, that's happened recently. So, and we'll talk about, we talked about that on the last Geek All-Stars as well.
Nice. Well, this is all very sexy. We'll talk to you soon.
All right, boy.
See ya.
Let me exit Skype. All right. Yeah, PRose.com down.
Wow. Well,
that's too bad.
Not on my watch, but.
I remember the site. You made a nice site for him. It was nice.
Yeah.
It was all right. In fact, the first time I saw you or we ever did anything in Vegas together was you were up there for something to do with him, I think.
Yeah.
Or maybe you were there for trivia, but also you just made it it was also a way to meet with him about something with the site
or something. Yeah.
Exactly. And I remember he was in the, he was in Caesars at one of those.
Yeah. Right. And we decided to meet at Palm. Happy hour at Palm because I had to swing by and see Pete.
Do they still do those? The happy hour at Palm?
No. We looked for like basically that Wednesday night with Tanner and Alex and the folks. Mm-hmm. We're like, all right, where should we go? Ooh, let's see if Caesar still has the great happy hour at the Palm. No longer.
Dang,
they realized that was
the best deal. I don't know, in
it was
Vegas.
Too good.
It was the best deal.
It really
in Vegas.
Was.
Yeah.
$7 for like each of their appetizers that are normally like 15 to 20.
Yeah.
And for $35, you got five of these appetizers. For four people, you're like chowing down like there's...
No, you were set. You know, it was a complete ripoff, and they just didn't realize it. So we...
Yeah.
I loved it. Those sliders were insane.
Artichoke dip, the sliders, the coconut shrimp. Oh,
yeah. No, all good.
Oh.
All good in the hood.
All good. Sorry, Palm.
Yeah.
Guess where I'm not going back to anymore.
Yeah, sweaty Palm.
Because I'm cheap. White Castle has a deal. Let's go to White Castle.
Those are terrible. All right. Well, there you go. Thanks, Dan, again. And that's going to do it for the show. Big thanks, everybody, for joining us. This edition of the show is brought to you by you folks at home because you support us at patreon.com/TMS. Without it, there is no fifth episode. So huge thanks for doing that because here we are and we had fun. Frogpants.com/TMS is our website. We shall now leave with a song. You have a song?
Yes, I do. Jeff wrote in, said, Sorry, this is a bit late, but I'd love to put in a request for my wife's birthday on May 5th and our miracle girl, JJ's birthday, on May 3rd. She was born 3 months early, weighing in at just 2 pounds, 4 ounces at birth, and is now hitting her second birthday. The docs say that she is all caught up, totally healthy, and she is the light of our lives with her crazy, curly, ginger-haired, happy toddler antics.
Wow.
We've spent lots of hours on many drives listening to various versions of Africa, and we love them all, so it seemed only fitting to request another one. Many thanks, and keep up the great show, though. Also, is it too early for We Got Scooters?
Oh, my gosh. Maybe. Scooters.
Maybe. That's a tough one, because that one you usually have a hard time finding.
Let's see if this is it.
We Got Scooters.
Oh, it's just all I have is the kids' ones. I don't know where the original
I just feel like that's an appropriate one for this request. Yeah. I've played seven different versions of Africa so far on TMS.
Wow.
And that doesn't count all the ones that you would play after the show when or when I was gone for a week or something.
Sure. And by the way, this kid right here.
We Got Scooters.
Probably pushing teens now.
Wow.
Think of that.
Pushing them, running up and pushing them.
Yeah, pushing them off overpasses and stuff.
Out of my way, teens!
I'm going to let that lie because that's awesome. That's how it should be. It's really good.
All right. This is by a band called Love Cannon. You love Love Cannon. I love Love Cannon. These guys are great bluegrass. And the other thing I love about Love Cannon is the fact that all their albums are named Greatest Hits. Wow. You gotta love it.
Wow.
This is from Greatest Hits Volume 1, their debut album, which came out in 2012. Here's their cover of Africa.
Flight. A moment wings reflect the stars that guide me towards salvation. I stopped an old man along the way, hoping to find some old forgotten words from ancient melodies. He turned to me as if to say, hurry boy, it's waiting there for you. The rain's down in air.
This show is part of the Frog Pants Network.
Frog Pants Network.
Get more shows like this at frogpants.com.